T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mully and Hall. Up early to start your day with Chicago sports talk.
Bears, 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 Bears. Football, football, football.
Time to catch you up on this morning's show so far.
Bears center Cody Whitehair joins us now.
One of the things that Matt Nagy said last week, Cody, was that they wanted to feel that pain of losing and use that maybe as fuel in the offseason. How much will that serve as motivation, that one loss kind of stinging to the point where you don't forget it?
You look across the locker room when you come back in after a game like that, and you just see guys just a little bit down, you know, and you could tell it hurt all of our team. So that's definitely motivation for us. And we obviously want to be back in that situation and excel in that game and move on. You know, that's going to be our goal next year, but the ending goal will be obviously the main show.
Mully and Hall.
I think they're kind of kindred spirits in a sense.
Taking you to work every morning from 5 to 9.
I think Mitch Trubisky has done a nice job of not having to be great every Sunday, realizing that he can be good on this team. And
that's how you
enough.
Get great.
And I can remember debating with you. It might have been over a beer. It might have been a bourbon. It might have been somewhere. But
it might have been over a bourbon.
Maybe so. You had a good standard kind of answer when it came to Rex Grossman. He's like, who's the cop?
That was the first time you ever actually stopped and listened to something I said. It would be us having a conversation, and I would be like Charlie Brown's teacher.
Before that, you were like Rex Grossman. Wait, you got audio of Mully from 2004?
Mully and Hall.
It's a hell of a team.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score. You like all the Bears at the Pro Bowl?
Do I like all the Bears?
Yeah. 7 Bears are going to play in the game.
I struggle to see what's bad about it. I think that there's nothing that is remotely negative.
Can I tell you what's
negative.
Bad about
no.
it? I can tell you the one negative.
You're going to tell me.
I will. The one negative is that because there are so many Bears in the game, people will be enticed to tune in. And I don't know how many people have recently watched a Pro Bowl, but I got to tell you, that's going to be a shock to the system.
You're going to be disappointed?
People will, they will drop a line in the water thinking they're going to catch themselves a nice football game, and then they will see whatever that is.
See, I don't think so. I think that people will watch wanting to see the Bears players succeed, and at the Pro Bowl, you pretty much can do nothing but succeed.
Oh, I disagree. There's not much playing, sadly.
But
they don't actually square off.
It's guys playing catch. Guys kind of
it's
falling down.
It's 7-on-7 drill.
Yeah, and you know, you don't take tacklers all the way to the ground necessarily. There'll be some collisions.
There will not be a single collision. What's going to be shocking to people, and I think it was like 3 years ago, where literally they played half speed, the ball would be snapped, and guys would stand up. They wouldn't move forward. There'd be no surge at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
There'd be sort of a stand up.
Wouldn't it be hilarious if, I guess it might not be funny to the quarterback, Akeem Hicks storms through the line of scrimmage.
I think this is my point. I think Akeem is dying to just pick up guys and bang their heads together and throw bodies, but he's not going to be allowed to because once he does that, everyone's going to go crazy. Like, hey, what are you doing?
He sounded animated yesterday when he was mic'd up for sound, and he sounded like a guy who was ready to play some football and missed it. He missed the contact. It's going to be a long off season, but there's no negative of playing the Pro Bowl. People will say we get texters all week. What about the injury? What about the fear of injury?
Oh, there's no injury.
You
there's
can
no
get
football.
Hurt in the weight room.
Yes, you can get hurt playing basketball.
You could get hurt doing. Yeah, I mean, don't go all Scottie Pippen on us here. Don't shut down the Pro Bowl.
I'm not shutting down the Pro Bowl. The Pro Bowl shuts itself down. If you watch the Pro Bowl,
not you necessarily. You in the collective sense, not you and like directly.
I think people haven't been watching the Pro Bowl because the Bears haven't been represented. And I think that those who haven't been tuning in regularly, it's going to be a shock to your system. And a lot of people will just be bored and looking for something to do and looking for some fun. And they'll be disappointed when they see the actual competitiveness.
It's been a long time since the Bears have had any reason, Bears fans have had any reason to watch the Pro Bowl.
I'm delighted they all made it. But one of the reasons they all made it is because they got the call and they didn't say, oh, really? You want me to go now? Who cares?
Doesn't matter.
It was like, I'm a first-time Pro Bowler. Let's go.
Doesn't matter.
Who's not a first-time Pro Bowler among the Bears Pro Bowlers? The only one is Khalil Mack. And guess what? He's not bothering going.
Well, he's got an injury.
Oh, does he?
Well, he can say he has an injury.
There you go. I'm just saying, I think if he was a first-timer, I think people, to them, it's a new thing and it's fun.
You've arrived.
Yes.
But Danny Trevathan, I think...
would have gone?
I think he wanted to go, and I think he tweeted something yesterday to that effect, if I can find it, but he was definitely...
I just saw that. Yeah, he's like upset, but it's got...
Because everybody else gets to go.
He goes, like, basically, pay me some respect. I've earned it. You know, I miss you guys. I want to be with you guys. And I'm not there. When are people going to respect me? So
we have a texter. Carlos Boozer got injured unpacking and tripping over his suitcase. Do you remember that one?
That's an oldie but a goodie. always kind of Carlos Boozer for convenient
the late
lines.
Brian Robinson tripped over a dog, or maybe fell off.
Well, that was the story, yes. Right? That was the Brian Greasy story too.
Brian Greasy tripped over a dog too.
That was the story.
Yeah.
I want to get back to something we talked about.
Please.
I don't want to kill your Pro Bowl buzz.
Listen, I'm the guy that watches the Pro Bowl every year.
Just to close the loop. Okay, you did. Yeah, you have. And
yes.
You have watched it since Rex Grossman was trying to make the Pro Bowl. Danny Trevathan tweeted out yesterday, "Wish I was there with my boys, but I accept it wasn't for me, Lord, but you all got to put way more respect on my name."
Can I tell you something that I believe? I believe next year that it will not be Danny Trevathan invited. It will be Roquan Smith.
I would agree with you. I would definitely agree with you. And that's not a knock on Danny Trevathan.
No, it's not.
But I think Roquan Smith's ready to take that next step with Chuck Pagano as a defensive coordinator. And I'm looking forward to hearing what Chuck Pagano has to say today at 10 o'clock from Hallis Hall when they introduce him. I think we're carrying that live here on the Bernstein and McKnight show.
Something to talk to them about during transition.
Right. And George McCaskey, by the way, will be with McNeil and Parkins live in studio at 1:30.
Oh, that's
taking
great.
The victory lap.
Yeah.
Taking down a downtown victory lap. How about that?
What would you like to know from George?
Oh, I think...
I have one question for
you. Okay, what would be the first question?
I love George. He's a lovely fella. He really is. He's a gentleman. He's a great guy.
Man of the people.
I'm not joking around. I think the world of George. The only question I'm interested in is the Kareem Hunt question. And you can word it any way you want. But I would like to know if indeed the head coach wants the player and if indeed the NFL makes the player available and if the general manager comes to the owner and says, this is the guy that puts us in the Super Bowl, what would George's response be?
Without a doubt. That is number one on any list, on any agenda, on any interview that you see the chairman of the Bears, you know, participating in. I don't think that he would be doing this interview if he wasn't fully prepared to answer that. So if that's not the case, I'll be surprised.
I totally agree with what you're saying. I'm curious to hear the answer. What do you believe the answer will be?
I think it will be...
I think he'll be open to it.
I think it will be a vaguely worded, supportive statement that leaves the door open for Kareem Hunt.
Yeah.
And I will probably be disappointed in that.
There will be multiple teams bidding for him, according to NFL insiders. Now, Adam Schefter in particular wrote that. Now, they say that, people say that, and then they quote Matt Nagy, because I think he's like the only guy out there that is publicly floated it.
Don't know of anybody else.
I haven't heard of anyone else yet.
Don't know of anybody else that makes more sense from a football perspective, though. That's a head coach who has coached the guy, who knows him and has worked, you know, him into the scheme that he's currently using.
You know who could use him, though?
A lot of teams could use him from a football standpoint.
The Eagles.
Yeah.
And Doug Peterson will get the inside scoop on him because he worked for Andy and has a relationship with Andy Reid. But Andy Reid, who loves to give a second chance, already gave the guy a second chance.
So you're Kareem Hunt, though, and you are weighing options and you're weighing teams and you're weighing
your
future.
But you go to the coach you know.
You have to go to the coach you know,
no
because
question.
If you're serious about, you know, your rehabilitation.
You've got a guy on your side.
You have to go somewhere that is a guy has openly supported you at a time where you didn't really deserve the open support. And look, I think that this debate will go on, but I think that if if you're Matt Nagy and you were that bold to open that door when he did, I think that, yeah, George is a guy that likes to say, I let my coaches coach. I let my general managers run the team. I stay out of football business. He takes his pride in that.
With exception. And the only exception is when they have so-called character issues. Then George will investigate on his own before he puts the stamp of approval of the Chicago Bears.
I think he
Bears
should investigate
player.
On his own.
Listen, I think in this case in particular, it's so incumbent upon him.
How do you investigate on your own and come to the conclusion that you're leaving the door open if you're George McCaskey and your mother is the matriarch of this franchise?
I think what you do is you say that if that comes up, I will investigate on my own.
Well, I will be very curious to see how he handles that question and how he addresses it.
Will he shut it down?
That would be more of a surprise, I think.
That would be a bigger surprise, yes.
That would be something that
could
would,
he
that's,
answer?
That's a headline. Could Either he way,
say,
it's a headline.
Could he say something like, well, the NFL has to rule on that? Could he avoid the question?
That's what
would
I mean.
That be, would that
I think,
be satisfactory
I think that it'll
for
be
you?
It could be a vaguely worded comment interpreted as support of your head coach.
Do you want him to shut it down, though? Or do you think, does this guy deserve
an
investigation?
I would be okay with him shutting it down.
I know you're against it right now, but would you rather hear George say, of these three options, we're not bringing Kareem Hunt to the Chicago Bears. If the football people tell me that we should bring Kareem Hunt to the Chicago Bears, we'll bring him in. Or if the football people tell me we should consider Kareem Hunt to be a Bear, I'm going to personally get involved and do my due diligence before I let that happen. Which of those three options do you want?
None of them in the way that you worded them. And no offense. Here's what I want. Here's what I hear from the chairman, who is a McCaskey of the Chicago Bears. Okay, I don't necessarily want him to have a football as part of the equation. I want him to say that we as an organization stand for something, and we're not comfortable with entertaining that idea at this moment.
Not winning at all costs.
We're not a win-at-all-cost franchise. This is a discussion that's premature. If time passes and enough time passes that we are comfortable with the idea that Kareem Hunt has rehabilitated himself, then I think we can have that conversation, but this is not the appropriate time to have that conversation because not enough time has passed for us to draw that conclusion.
We have a texter who checks in saying, you guys may want to go on more than a short video clip. And I would tell him that the short video clip was enough for me. I can just go on that.
I think it was.
Yeah.
I think images are powerful. And again,
I still would like some audio.
Well, of course you'd like some audio.
Yeah, because you're trying to find a way to get him on the roster.
So give me some
audio.
What
the audio do? Explain why he knocked over a woman.
You can
and
hear the
her?
Impact of his foot hitting a woman? Is that what you'd like to hear?
So I could hear the alleged racial epithet slurs that were supposedly
next January,
coming out of her mouth towards him.
Okay. Does that condone the way that he
I didn't
reacted?
Say that. I want to hear it.
Well, you're suggesting that.
I am suggesting it.
When you're saying that,
I probably didn't say it well again.
Well, I'm just saying that I would be much more comfortable with this debate if it were happening next January than now. This was not that long ago.
But next January, David, he'll be on another team.
Well, then okay. Then you go find your own Kareem Hunt in the draft.
That's the thing. I'm with you there, David. I think there are other... I don't think Kareem Hunt is all that special. Let's put it this way. He's special enough to have the ability to play in the NFL, but I think he was in a good situation, and they made the most of it. You have to find the right guy and put that right guy in this right situation. I think there's other people that can mimic, that have the attributes on the field that a Kareem Hunt has.
All right, we're going to take a break, and we're going to switch gears a little bit. I don't know why I don't like talking about this, because I feel like it's like politics. There are people that believe one thing and people that believe the other thing, and I don't think we're ever going to come to some
fair
sort
enough.
Of
and we got a lot of people out there, says the texter,
yes.
David, get off your perch. He makes the Bears way better. Sign him. It's a bottom line approach.
A lot of people,
I get it. I understand that.
A lot of people want you to get out of that ivory tower, aka your perch.
Why don't you just embrace the man who kicks women, David? It's such an easy thing to do, isn't it?
Oh, sorry. 312-644-6767 is the telephone number. Don't forget, we're going to talk to Ricky Renteria And in a little while, we'll ask about the White Sox. Obviously, you have the Fan Fest, Sox Fest coming up on the weekend. Looking forward to hearing what Ricky has to say. And what I really appreciate about the White Sox, generally speaking, is they are they're unafraid to talk about Manny Machado.
They were very open yesterday.
That was great.
And I'm looking forward to that conversation.
Yeah. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score.
I see myself as shortstop, and it's going to be tough to kind of move me. I put in a lot of work to, you know, get to where I'm at today, and, you know, I've just been continuous working. And, you know, it's not going to be easy to move me.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is Tim Anderson, the White Sox shortstop.
Yeah.
And it's fun to hear him address Manny Machado by saying that they welcome him with open arms,
mm-hmm.
but also saying that it's going to be tough to move him out of the shortstop position. He's been working at getting better at it, and this is his career, and he's dedicated.
Love the confidence. I really am a fan of Tim Anderson. I like him on and off the field. I like the enthusiasm with which he plays. I think he's a talented guy. I think he's exactly right. It's going to be hard to move him because it's going to be hard to sign Manny. But once you sign Manny, it's not that hard. I respect his abilities at shortstop, but if Manny Machado wants to play shortstop and that possibility helps attract him to the White Sox and bring him to Chicago, you open the position and you make it happen. And then you figure out, where's Tim Anderson make the most sense? And is it left field? Is it probably not, because I think Eloy Jimenez is going to be out there, you know, sooner rather than later. Second base makes sense. Maybe Mankata at third. They have options. He has versatility. He's a good athlete. He's a good baseball player.
So you're moving two players to accommodate one. Isn't that the old NFL offensive line?
I'm moving whoever you want to move.
I'm just saying, can't you move Tim Anderson? Do you have to
third?
Yeah, well, Yolmer is at third right now, right? I mean, don't you have interchangeable pieces?
Well, you're the Sox guy, so tell me this. Are you comfortable with
me this.
Are you comfortable?
You're not willing to do whatever Machado tells you to do to have him at 35th and Shields?
No. I'm talking about moving Anderson into Machado's spot. I'm not talking about Machado. I'm talking about the Cuban kid.
Mankata.
Jesus.
So as a Sox guy,
the guy that's been on me all morning has now got more fuel.
Playing second base in the future, or does he maybe be? Is he a better fit at third?
I don't know why you think he's a better fit at third. They tried him at third, and they settled him in at second in Boston. And since he's come here, he's been settled in at second, and you're still trying to figure out what you have with him. The question would be, mm-hmm. where do you eventually play Nick Madrigal? If he is going to be your second baseman of the future, and he's playing second down in the minor leagues, and he's moved up, I believe, to now he's the number two prospect, according to, was it Baseball Prospectus that announced their top 101 yesterday? And I think Baseball America hasn't announced theirs. But if indeed you're thinking about Madrigal as the second baseman of the future, then I would understand moving him. But I don't think you have to move him yet. I don't think we're at that point yet. So I want him to hit better before you start moving him to a different position. I want him to be better as a Major League Baseball player.
Rick Hahn has left that door open to changing Mankata's position to the point where it wouldn't surprise me. I don't think that there are any hard and fast. I think you let that play itself out.
Yeah.
I think it's a great problem to consider.
I totally agree. And what's wrong with versatility? What's wrong with moving a guy
to
different positions? The Cubs do it for a living. You know, they do it with guys that you would never have thought
Javi
of in that position.
Yeah, everyone's waiting for Addison Russell to come back so Javi can go back to second. Why? And he's a better shortstop. He's, to me, the best shortstop on that team.
But, I mean, Jason Hayward played first base at one point. This is the premier gold glove right fielder in baseball. You know what? He's tall. He could probably play first base. Throw him out there for a game. Seriously, it just seems like you can do that. You can throw names in a hat and have fun with it, right? There's nothing wrong with that. We'll run that by Rick Renteria next. We'll talk to him about these sorts of moves and what would it mean if they – I don't know if he'll play along that much. Where
he may play along.
Everybody.
He talked about the meeting with Manny Machado. Looking forward to talking to Ricky.
Yeah. Where does everyone play? What are you going to do with Bryce Harper? Where exactly does he play? We'll ask him.
Great young man. Obviously, we expressed our interest. We talked about what we are as an organization. And we look forward to, you just don't know yet, where things will fall.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. It is always a pleasure to talk to Rick Renteria, the White Sox manager. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Good morning, Ricky.
Good morning, guys. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on, and thanks for your forthrightness as well, talking about Manny Machado. I think that a lot of people are excited at the possibility. The White Sox have made an offer that has been reported. No one has denied it, and certainly we saw him walking into the ballpark and all the rest of it. It's exciting times because there are exciting players out there, and you guys seem committed to getting one. So congratulations on that, if indeed we can look forward to such a thing.
Well, thank you. I think that, obviously the front office is the one doing so much of the legwork and everything that they can to, possibly do something with one of these two young men that are out there. And, you gotta think about what Rick and the front office has done as far as putting us on the map. Nobody thought that it was even possible that any of these two guys would consider coming here. But, and nothing has been done in terms of, solidifying anything. But at least we put ourselves in a really good spot to potentially land one of them. And, that's a testament to Rick and everybody in the front office.
So, Ricky, most of the speculation surrounds Manny Machado. So it's December 17th, guaranteed rate field. The presentation happens. Can you take us in the room? Can you let us know kind of how it went, who was there, and who had the biggest impact?
Well, I mean, obviously, we had a few guys in there with Rick and Kenny and myself, and I think that honestly, they have they put together a really great presentation about who we are as an organization, where we're going, the depth of our organization in terms of players, and the desire for us to want to win, and. Certainly, putting a young man like that on the ball club would, potentially move our timetable forward a little bit. He's a tremendous talent. But that being said, does not change the fact that we're on a really good track with all the young men that we do have right now. And we're going to continue to develop and move forward one way or the other. I know I can't control certain things, and right now my focus is to make sure that our plans for the guys that we do have on our rosters and that are going to be, coming in spring training, we're prepared to deal with them. And then if there's an addition, baseball is ever evolving and organic, as many people say, and we'll deal with that addition should it happen and move forward.
How involved was Jose Abreu?
Pito was very involved, actually. He's one of the spokesmen for the club, and he had nice conversations with him. We sat down together. One of the things that we did do, had a little brunch, and just shot things back and forth, just general conversation. And then I left the room and allowed those two guys to continue to get to know each other, and I think it went very, very well.
That's great stuff, and we should let people know that the Sox Fest is obviously this weekend. Everything begins Friday, and you're doing a roundtable, which is always one of my favorite things. I believe you'll be with Rick Hahn. I was there when you came bounding off the stage to hug the guy that said nice things to you to your team, Rick. It was a magical moment, and. Always fun to see you at that thing because I think you connect with people in a great way.
Well, I appreciate that. I think that the organization, all of us are truly, striving to get this thing on track in order to win. And to say the least, our depth and the players that we have, they're real. I keep, I know I repeat myself a lot, but they're real. The talent is real. It's just a matter of when they get here and how we put it together and how quickly we put it together to give us a chance to be able to compete and do the things that people on the South Side want us to do, which is win.
And Rick, it's interesting because when your contract extension was announced, you heard Rick Hahn say that you had created a culture of accountability. And certainly we've seen that with you having guys sit down if they're not hustling and talking to young players. Manny Machado got in some issues in the offseason or during the World Series. He did an interview where he talked about not being Johnny Hustle, I think he said, as opposed to Charlie Hustle. Did you discuss that with him at all? Are there any concerns there? And I have a theory that I want to run by. I think that having Yonder Alonso, having John Jay there, workout partners, professional guys, I don't think you'd see that thing happen with him, but did it come up?
You know what? It was one of those things that was addressed. Everybody has to address it, I believe. I'll be honest with you. But in speaking to this young man, he's a very driven individual. I do think that maybe he misspoke, however anybody wants to take it. I think that the reality is that when you anybody that comes in to any organization, hopefully you're able to take on what the culture of the organization is, and it is truly just about managing personalities. I think he wants to compete. I think he wants to serve. I think he wants to help a club win. And so we did our best to express to him in frankness who we are, the culture that we're trying to put forward, how the guys have bought in, their desire to show everybody from the top all the way down to the bottom in the minor leagues how we go about playing the game of baseball on the South Side. And, you know, it's no different, I must say, probably than any organization in baseball, in that, you know, you want your guys to give everybody a good effort. We're a blue-collar type community. We want our guys to show and wear everything on their heart and leave everything on the field. And that's just the bottom line. I think at the end of the day, it's 162 games. We talked about how we understand, you know, that the body goes through a grind, especially in baseball in terms of the length of the season, and that there are going to be times when a guy, a player, doesn't have 100% in his tank to do something. But, you know, you guys have heard me say, and I've said this to the players many times, you know, and it was something taught to me, you know, hey, listen, if you've got 50% on that day, give me 100 of your 50. Mm-hmm. And but if there's something going on with your body and things of that nature, come in and talk to me first, because I can always defend. I can always put forward a defense for all my players. The reality is I don't like, you know, criticizing my players in the press. That's mm-hmm. not my gig. You know, if things happen, we try to keep it in-house, talk about it, and move forward. But I think he's an individual that he's a tremendous talent. Hopefully, you know, something happens in a positive way. In either case, it's going to be something good for him wherever he lands. But, you know, for us, we have a certain way of playing the game, and we express that, and we were very forthright in how we go about doing our business here. And I think he was I think he liked the presentation. I think what we did was being very honest, and, you know, we have just as good a chance as anybody to land.
White Sox manager Rick Renteria joining Mullion Haw. You know, the possibility of Manny Machado has excited a lot of people. We don't know if he's going to be in a White Sox uniform. One guy we have a better idea will be in a White Sox uniform in 2019. Eloy Jimenez has people every bit as excited, I think. And the possibilities of his future and the expectations surrounding him are enormous, Ricky. And I know that you welcome and embrace those. If you had to describe, and you'll be asked to this weekend, what the Sox and what Chicago's getting in terms of the player and the person in Eloy, how would you do that?
It's really simple. Pretty bright young man, pretty articulate, a tremendously gifted athlete, tremendous hitter, continues to develop his defensive skills. I think he's going to be better than we think on the defensive side of it. But his overall baseball game for his age is pretty high. His acumen is pretty high, and I think that you know, at some point in time, this coming season, he will be with us. I can't tell you exactly when, but he'll be with us, and I think he's one of those kids that once he gets here, he will be here to stay.
I'm one of these guys that's always waiting for the lists of your young players to come up and see how they compare to other guys in baseball. I'm curious about the minor league teams. I think it's fun to look at, and there's, as you say, a ton of talent on the way. Do you have to keep half an eye on that in terms of how you, I know the job is to win in the right now, but if a guy is, if you have a second baseman on the come, do you wonder if about moving a guy from second to third? We heard Tim Anderson say yesterday that if that everyone would welcome Machado with open arms, but if he, but he wants to stay at shortstop, it's his job. You know, I love that sort of thing. How do you deal with the competition for positions and guys that you want to play, but they might not be there in the same position later on? Do you look for more versatility?
Well, I think that, you know, as we continue to move forward, obviously we have to have an idea of what, you know, changes we might have to make. A lot of that discussion is done internally. You know, it wouldn't be a good thing for me to start talking about, you know, what we have in terms of plans and changes potentially. But I can safely say that obviously internally we have a lot of discussions about possible changes and moves that might need to be done in order to accommodate what we do have from coming from within and how, or coming from the outside and how we would have to make adjustments. But you know, Timmy is Timmy. I think he's proven and is showing to be one of the better shortstops in the game of baseball, and I have no concern about Timothy. He's our shortstop. I don't see him going anywhere at this moment. And I think he has every right to feel good about and strong about what he does at that position. I'm with him. I agree with him. So I think at the end of the day, it's going to be incumbent upon myself as the manager and the coaching staff to establish who we are as a team, continue to move forward, that we're not going to win just with one individual. It's going to take a roster of 40 people, even more, to go through a championship season and have success that you need. And I think that our guys are buying into the idea that we need our individuals, but we also know we are a team and that we're selfless and that we give to do the best we can for our club and our organization. And I think that's the biggest theme that we continue to harp on. And I think that the competitive edge that these guys have, their desire to want to do what they do, where they do it, I embrace it. I love it. I'm glad that they're competitors. They have an edge. They should keep it. They should not lose that edge. That's what makes them the best of what exists in the Major League game.
Ricky, a year ago at Sox Fest, if you'd have said that you predicted Daniel Palka would hit 27 home runs, they'd have said, could you step away from the cash bar? Not something that you probably anticipated in 2018, but he did come through. He's a character. He's a guy that you'd love to have in the clubhouse. I think fans are gravitating toward him as they learn more about him. What's reasonable to expect from him in 2019, and where does he fit?
Well, again, you know, as we go into spring training, he had a tremendously impactful season for us and for himself. He's a young man that can put the ball in the seats at any given moment and in a timely fashion, may I say. So we are very happy that Palki is with us. It was a great job by the front office to target him and acquire him in the free agent market as a minor league free agent, by the way. And he comes in, obviously, with a tremendous foot forward as we go in and see how the landscape evolves with the outfielders that we have and how we're able to, you know, use him. I think it's a situation in which everybody's battling, but certainly he's put himself in a tremendous position to be a part of who we are in this coming season.
Rick, it's interesting to see what the White Sox did with bringing all their young stars down to the Dominican and going to the facility there. And Ronaldo Lopez hosted a bunch of people at his house. And, you know, I saw a lot of the videos of that and followed that online. And I thought to myself, you know, you as a manager have your foot in two worlds. We know you're bilingual, and we understand that there are a combination of many Latin players and American players on this roster. How will that help you in team building moving forward? And do you wish that sort of thing was going on when you were playing?
Well, I think that every era is different. Every time is different. I mean, I played winter ball for 10 years. So I went back to my parents' native country. I'm first generation American. Right. I went back and played in Mexico for 10 years. Of winter ball, but I think what Getsy did basically by allowing these young men to experience going and seeing how some of the other people live, some of our teammates live, where they come from, the things they've had to do to overcome and be in a situation where they're at the major league level. It's a great, multicultural experience. Getsy had some of these young men playing in the Instruction League the year before. And I've been, last year was the first year I hadn't gone to visit the kids, but the previous 2 years I'd been going down there in the winter and seeing the Instruction League and meeting with a lot of these kids. And the previous year to this, he had a few Americans go down there and participate in the Instruction League down there, and they got to know each other. I think that it allows them to understand that beyond baseball, life does exist, and that there are a lot of parallels in our existence. We are human beings that happen to play baseball. And so I think that understanding what people go through and how they can still have joy in going about and playing the game of baseball, something that truly unites us, I think he did a great job by allowing that to happen. They had some of our fun, some of the minor league coaches went down there as well. Obviously, you guys saw the video, but yeah. I think it was a great experience for everybody. I think it allows us to open up to each other. And you're right, it is actually a huge team-building aspect that Getsy was able to put together and allow these guys to share and know that, you know, we have a lot of commonality to ourselves, and the biggest commonality is the game of baseball, and they're able to do it in a way that, I guarantee you they have some great memories they'll never forget.
Rick, thanks a ton. Look forward to seeing you at the Sox Fest this weekend. And again, really hoping for some good news at some point here.
Thanks, Rick.
You got it.
Take care. That is Rick Renteria. What a lovely fellow.
Yeah, yeah. Really refreshing guy. Sox Fest at the Hilton this weekend.
Right.
It's going to be a fun event. And who knows? Maybe they will break some news. I don't think they're going to get anything from Machado this weekend.
Yes,
but
I think they're playing the slow game,
yeah.
And it would be foolish not to, because they have an offer on the table. And although we keep hearing about mystery teams, and we keep hearing about, they're the only team that is yet to make an offer. And maybe they can make a counter if indeed they're outbid. But
I like the openness.
You don't
though.
Bid against yourself.
I like acknowledging the fact that you're all in for this guy.
I love it.
And you were entertaining both guys, and the possibilities are still there.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And David, it's going to be very cold tomorrow. I don't know if you've heard this or not.
I've heard that, yeah.
But as I was in the hallway, I ran into Russ, and he used those two horrible words together that I haven't heard in a while.
Uh-oh.
And I really have no interest.
I think I know what you're talking about. Polar
vortex. That was it. And I literally went like, ah! That is a terrible thing.
Is that the
thing.
Noise you made too?
I did. I let out like a scream as if I was in a horror movie. Next Wednesday and Thursday too, is that right? Or Thursday and Friday next week? It's going to be like 30 below, and it's going to be.
Is that right?
What is the movie? The movie where the United States freezes over, and everybody has to move to Mexico.
You know, the cold isn't as annoying as the snow, which isn't as annoying as the freezing rain. I think if I had to rank them in order.
Let me tell you something.
Cold's fine.
The cold is just mean spirited, dangerous. People are going to die from the
freezing rain.
Freezing
rain is nasty, insulting, and treacherous.
I agree. It's horrible.
Yeah.
And people will die if they're behind if they're behind the wheel. There are problems with that. But the cold will, people that are unfortunate without homes can die in that stuff.
Okay.
That polar vortex, that was the only, and how long ago was that? Was that a few years ago? It's the only time I've ever actually questioned, why do I live in Chicago? I'm a great defender of Chicago weather, of seasonal weather. I often think, as I'm shoveling snow, think about the summer, and you're just stripping down to next to nothing. You're walking around in a Speedo, Mr. David.
Well, that's a great image. Thank you.
I know you like
Thank
to
you.
Do oiling up your body, trying to get a little sun.
Thank you for causing the traffic fender benders out there.
But my God, yeah, the day after tomorrow. That's what it felt like with the polar vortex.
Okay.
The weather, in one word, bone-chilling cold.
So apparently that's tomorrow. So just
all
be
right.
careful.
I'm
make
prepared.
Sure, make sure all of our listeners make sure that you know what the temperature is.
You're going to be toasty warm at the Sox Fest, from what I understand. You're going to be
going down there Saturday. You're not
going to hug a few managers.
Right.
And,
not tomorrow, but Saturday.
Shake a few hands. And
if you see me there.
Giving out hugs.
Feel free to come out.
White Sox hugs.
I'm not. Do I give out hugs? Maybe if I'm in my cups.
Only to White Sox fans.
That's not true.
Apparently.
That's not true.
And managers.
I'm a very affable gent.
Affable. A-F-F. Okay. What was your biggest takeaway from the Rick Renteria talk? Since I always come away with a conversation with Rick Renteria saying the same thing. What a genuine guy.
What a good dude.
It's hard to criticize a guy like that.
Likeability off the
He does have a huge likability, and it makes you understand why the Sox believe he can create a culture of accountability, and also that's conducive for superstars and minor leaguers alike. He's the same guy every day.
I would like to see him have better players to manage.
I think they're coming.
How he can do it. I think they're coming too, but I don't think they're coming as quickly as you might imagine. I think Dan Bernstein's walking in. Wait a second.
Hold on.
He stopped at the door. He was like half pushed through it.
That was a close one.
All right. We got Bernsey.
If he's beating the door down, we better just get to break.
He is loitering with intent to quote a famous soccer call. It's time for your chance to win $1,000 in cash on the Score right now. This hour's keyword is Score, S-C-O-R-E, as in I love to listen to mornings on the Score. Boy, that Mully and Haw really do a good job on the Score. Text Score to 72881 by the end of the hour. Again, the keyword is Score. So happy to have those guys on the Score to 72881. And I'm just saying that because a lot of people hate us today. One randomly selected nationwide entrant from this hour will win. Please do not text and drive. Message and data rates may apply. We will do transition next with Dan and Connor. It is Mully and Haw on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.